This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. With Ramp, you get full visibility into your company's spending and control who spends what with each vendor. Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts instantly to save your team valuable time. Ramp automates data entry and routine tasks with automated approvals, expense categorization and bill payments, time-consuming tasks, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. Get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
I am very sincerely upset about the way they have treated this character.
See, I like having come in and piecemeal and watched them all in the wrong order and figuring this out. Like, I understand why you're mad at Jason Statham, but also I love Jason Statham a lot, so like I can't understand people being mad at him, because to me he's always Jason Statham.
He killed Han.
Well, yeah, he killed a family member, and then he is immediately welcomed into the family.
And he's invited to the cookout? No.
I mean, Christ was about forgiveness.
Christ didn't own a car.
You don't know that.
He drove a donkey,
which was basically the muscle car of its time.
That's
see?
True. Yes.
See? Everybody yep. else is on camels, like way up high off the ground, like SUVs. Donkey, that's low. It's right. Cornering, baby.
Scrapes the ground.
Ripping through the streets of Jerusalem like the Toyota XSTI.
The Toyota Celica of Galilee.
The Italian Christmas donkey was the original Lamborghini.
See? Sports car. Welcome to the Shutdown Fullcast. You are listening to the internet's only college football podcast. If you want one, another one, you're mistaken. This is all you need. This is the only one that you got. So enjoy it. I am Spencer Hall, and I am here to say
that... Go to hell, solid verbal.
No.
That's what he wants to say.
No. Although, what is the most... They were like... amazed that Dan Rubenstein can drink like 48 ounces of liquid at once.
Liquid or like alcohol?
Water was the liquid in... I mean, now liquid is an open discussion, isn't it? If I was like, you can drink 48 ounces of motor oil just every morning, taking that bad boy down. That's a different thing.
Wait, what? Dan can drink like gallons of water in one gulp? Like a whale?
Yeah. You just take it down like a camel. Just...
Huh. Does he spit at you? Camels do that.
Potentially, yeah. Mm. I know that I can take down, like, I can drink a 40 in one go. That's not hard. So I'm not thinking 64 ounces is like a big stretch in terms of like one continuous chug.
Okay, we went from 48 to 40 to 64.
Yeah, no, I'm right in that range. I think like another third on top of that capacity-wise, I can do that.
Go to hell, solid verbal. I just want to reiterate.
Welcome to the only volumetric capacity podcast on these here internets. Ryan, you're our resident Florida native.
What the fuck, dude? Don't put that on him.
A title that, no, we've said it multiple times, and it's accurate. Not making that up. You're the only Florida native here on this podcast, correct?
I guess that's true.
Yeah. I don't even claim it, right? Like, I just have exposure, but I don't... I wasn't born with this virus. You... It's in your DNA.
At least my parents are from Florida. Oh, wait, they're not. They moved there, and then they had me.
This is where we... Didn't we talk about this just a little while ago? This is why I think you fly low as a Floridian, because your parents came there from California.
Yeah.
And so you're able... You have, like, the tall grass of outsider ancestry.
Yeah.
Do you think they got there and before they were like, it can't be too different than California?
I don't want to think about this too hard. Honestly, like,
how Florida
every time
is Tampa?
How Florida is Tampa?
Yeah, I mean, your parents named a kid Todd, so they fucked up somewhere once.
All right, what did you want to ask me as the Florida native on this podcast?
He's just talking about Sonic the Hedgehog again. He didn't actually have a question.
What's the most? No, we're not talking about Nebraska natives. We're talking about Florida natives. Mm. And I wanted to ask,
Earthworm Jim,
what is the
our
most...
producer asked before the show why our last show ran 2 hours of recording.
Gosh, who could say?
Hartzell, this is kind of how it went.
So, Ryan, what city in Florida consistently produces the most stress and drama? Like, if you had to say what the most stressful city in the entire state of Florida was, what would you say?
I mean, like, I'm going to exclude Tallahassee and the state capitalness of it because I feel like that's unfair. Mm-hmm. Because that would be my first answer. I think it's probably Jacksonville, number two. Jacksonville, if you take away the like, hey, Ron DeSantis works here, part of Tallahassee.
Jacksonville's used to finishing second in the state of Florida. So they've got
true.
That going for them.
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll say Jacksonville.
I think you're correct. Because if Urban Meyer really wants to coach there.
What?
Which is a rumor.
Is this the first you're hearing that, Holly? I can't. Holly yep. is good a good enough actor. Okay. All right.
Yep. today is my first day off both of my jobs since, like, August.
Yeah.
And I have spent most of it not on the internet. And the times I have spent on the internet, I have spent it yelling at Georgia's Secretary of State. So.
Who is not
really?
Urban Meyer. Yeah.
Yet.
Not yet.
Not yet. Not yet.
But I think if that is actually something that will come to fruition, when Urban Meyer is very serious about this job, he has to consider the constant drama that is Duval County, that is Jacksonville. I mean, if Cat Williams says it's stressful and it's wild, I'm just going to accept that it's stressful and it's wild. Because Cat Williams got arrested for drama in the middle of a parking lot of a Walmart in DeKalb County once. So he knows drama. And he knows stress. And he thinks Jacksonville's stressful? It's got to be stressful. I just have one little piece of evidence, though. Because I know Urban Meyer in the past, stress has taken a great toll on him. This is happening right now in the city of Jacksonville. This is from Garrett Dennis, a councilman in the city of Jacksonville. He was asked by someone on Twitter saying, hey, wasn't it you who was making thousands of phone calls to another woman who wasn't your wife? Was it work related? At least the mayor sticks by his wife. And in response, this councilman said, I want to thank the mayor, who retweeted this, for referencing my wife, which I thought was off limits. Opens the door for me asking if yours knows about your trips to Clay County to be with hired women. That's a councilman.
At least those hired women get paid.
That's true. It's a business. And then
I also just learned that Ron DeSantis was born in Jacksonville, so please continue.
Lots to answer for, huh, Duval?
Responsible for Blake Bortles. Mm-hmm. Ron DeSantis, and now this, and the entire Jacksonville Jaguars franchise.
Well. Yeah,
yeah. Mm. The amount of misery that. And by the way, big coffee plant. The amount of nervous energy that the city of Jacksonville has been responsible for over the years is incalculable.
It's like if Ren and Stimpy was a metropolis.
Wow, that is hauntingly accurate.
Stimpy.
On a lot of levels.
We're going to win the AFC title.
Okay.
Call the police.
It's Jags. It's big. It's heavy. It's wood.
It's not better than bad, though.
That's why it stopped.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
If they could be better, they could. The mayor, by the way, when he posted a picture a couple days ago somebody, he posted a picture of him and his wife just, you know, yucking it up on New Year's. Somebody under the title of Impeach Lenny Curry on Twitter said, "God damn, your wife is ugly too. Holy shit, how much do you have to pay her annually to stick by you?" To which Lenny Curry replied, "Name the place, show your face, I'll be there." Yeah. Mayor's just out here wilding.
This is not the first time he has been too active on Twitter. This is maybe the furthest he's
servant
gone.
Wife guy.
Yeah.
Is a tough intersection.
Yeah, he needs to be far less online, basically. He was born in Key West, so.
He should be much more relaxed.
What the hell did you leave for, dude?
Fair.
Get back down there.
Yeah, I mean, that's a mistake. He went to high school in Middleburg. By the way, where is this guy who's far too online and brawling on Twitter? Wasting all this time. Where did he go to school? Woo! University of Florida, baby!
I heard that echo in my own headphones.
He's a gator. So I'm just saying, you're ready to step into this. If you're ready to step into this morass, if you're ready to just go ahead and come in the steam room, get in this pressure cooker called Duval County, Urban Meyer. I don't know, man. You might not be ready.
Look at the coaches who have preceded, who he would have followed, though. Like,
yeah, and
how long was Jack Del Rio the coach of the Jaguars?
Yeah, but does Jack Del Rio even know where he is most of the time?
Dude, he was there from 2003 to 2011.
I bet he'd be surprised if you told him that. If you said, "Dude, you lived there for like 9 years," he'd be like, "What? Crazy?
What? I've never been to Jacksonville."
I mean, I identify. If you told me, like, "Hey, you lived there for this many years," I'd be like, "Ah, couldn't be that many." Mm-hmm. No way. Yeah, you put an axe in the locker room and everything. Someone hurt their foot with it. No, it's crazy.
I don't remember this being the case, but on Jack Del Rio's Wikipedia page, it says in January 2010, he was offered the head coaching job at USC, where he played. And the next day, he denied receiving an offer and later rebuffed the offer officially and saying he would stay with the Jaguars. And in November 2011, he got fired.
And who did they hire in 2010?
Oh, wow. It's all coming full circle, isn't it?
Uh-huh. Shit. Uh-huh. They hired Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin.
Outback Bowl champion.
Outback Bowl. That's right. That's right, defending the valor of the SEC, unlike some teams.
How do you expect Florida to get up for a non-appetizer-based game? How?
Do they not understand strip mall culture? We can't get motivated for that.
Nope.
There wasn't a single pool. There wasn't a pool supply on the line. There was not a Jamba Juice on the line. There was no appetizer guaranteed.
No, not even like the promise of a fajita.
Not a differently flavored vape than the one we normally pick up. No.
Oatmeal,
that's right.
Yeah, it's oatmeal.
Mountain Dew and Bacardi.
Mountain Dew.
Wait, is that an option?
It is now.
Peanut butter.
Don't get me excited.
There's going to be some Florida detective show in the next 5 years where a man enters the room and goes, "Peanut butter vape. Ah, Moriarty!"
And CIS Orlando.
Yeah.
Florida
Moriarty.
Did we kill Jason?
I think we did.
I was trying to figure out if Sonic is from Nebraska, where's Tails from?
Oh, shit.
Is Tails Wisconsin?
I mean, I feel like Tails is far more Midwestern than Sonic is. Tails is the humble, heart in his sleeve, good-natured, you know, not a lot of attitude.
Right, right, right.
I'm feeling like Tails is from Michigan.
Salt of the earth guy.
Yeah, but Tails is a juggalo.
Is Tails Upper Peninsula, like, even more sincere?
Wow. That feels Knuckles to me.
Yeah, I was going to say, could you see Tails
Knuckles
setting their own...
Knuckles is, like, deep into Maine.
I can also see Knuckles living in the Ozarks.
Yeah.
Get out of here.
I'll punch you.
I thought you were fast, but yeah, I like punching too.
It's called Knuckles because he runs the local coffee shop, and that's his signature dish.
call, Call
I got
the
right to bare arms with fists on them.
Yeah, Knuckles definitely has some extremely problematic politics. So yeah, Ozarks. Put him in the Ozarks. So, but going back to that, you keep working on that, Jason. But going back to that, yeah, we are full circle because Lane Kiffin, he had a flight to catch. They had to leave him at the airport. Management changed at USC. And who did they hire to replace him? That's right, fellow co-offensive coordinator from their national title teams. Whew! Steve Sarkisian.
Surely the first and only time that Sark has replaced Kiffin, right?
No. This is the second time. He did it twice.
Uh-huh.
Replaced him at Alabama.
I was like, when did Kiffin coach Texas?
When Kiffin was like, yeah, I don't know, I'm going to get another job. And Nick was like, bye.
When Kiffin just happened to receive an extension hours before Texas hired Sark.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
On the heels of a 4-5 season.
Yeah, I'm going to level with y'all. As long as he didn't take Auburn, nothing else Lane was going to do this offseason was going to satisfy me.
Can I interest you in the New York Jets?
Never mind. Asked and answered, counselor. Thank you.
I just want to see that first press conference. Hey, guys, how you doing? Boo!
Make that noise again.
Boo! Everyone at Jets press conferences, the journalists included, boo like they're like Shakespearean hecklers.
Yeah, that's some Princess Bride shit.
Yeah. Boo. Filth. Rubbish.
Rubbish. Throwing tomatoes at the stage.
You had true love and Ole Miss, and you threw it away. For what? The Jets' job?
They won't love you like we love you. That's true. They will not.
That is true.
Yeah. Although really, like, it's got to be so easy to get hired at the Jets. Like, the Johnson family, they've been rich for so long. They have 3 brain cells and don't need any more. That's just how much money they have. So if you're a head coach, they're like, well, you know what I like? What? Football. They're like, this guy gets it. Hire him.
Dan Mullen's totally getting this job because we're talking about this now.
The Jets job? Okay, just speak it out.
Between now and whenever this show comes out, I bet Dan Mullen gets this job.
Okay.
I'm pissed at how right you are.
Because the knock on Dan Mullen everywhere else is like, he really doesn't interview that well. He's not that compelling. But like, the Jets hired Adam Gase. This is like... at what point have they been like, yeah, you know what? Charisma and leadership. Those are the two things we look for. Absolutely.
Oh, God. Yeah, we need somebody innovative. We need somebody who understands college quarterbacks. Oh, God.
Do you think Rex Ryan interviewed well? Are you kidding me? He was probably showing you half-nude pictures of his wife.
No, just the feet.
Which half?
That's the half that's nude.
That's it. Just the feet.
She's half feet.
Her half foot. Her foot half.
Yeah.
Her foot half. Yeah.
It's mermaid culture. Please don't email us.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's built like a South Park character. She's just all feet, man. We haven't even, like, we just got to the point where we were like, oh, yeah. Sarkisian. Texas fired Tom Herman. 3 weeks after they were like, no, that's good.
No. I need to talk about something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I think at the time when Chris Del Conte gave Tom Herman the dreaded vote of confidence, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly, we avoided really dwelling on the fact that he had received the dreaded vote of confidence because the term dreaded vote of confidence is a cliche, right? It's so deeply embedded as natural law in our universe that there's no point in dwelling on it. So we all kind of gave that little sad disinterested laugh, haha, dreaded vote of confidence, and moved on. Here's the thing. Dreaded vote of confidence became a cliche within our ecosystem because it happens all the time. And I, for one, forgot about that.
It was 4 days before signing day that out of nowhere, Texas's AD says, he is our coach and he will continue to be our coach. Signing day happens. And he did continue to be the coach for a few more weeks with the signatures official and locked in. And then won a bowl game, and then he was no longer the head coach. And those signatures are still locked in. Like, not a lot of them, but, you know, several 4-star athletes who quite possibly would have signed elsewhere. Yeah, it's really cool.
Thanks, Chris.
So you think they would naturally go this far and pay this much money? Somewhere around, I don't know, $24 million in total buyouts that they're going to have to just pay out.
Has it ever been clearer that there is nobody in charge at that school?
It took you 3 weeks, dude. Like,
there's nobody in charge.
3 weeks. How? If it takes you 3 weeks to make a decision and get everything straight, you're not in charge. You're not. Like, I don't know who runs Texas. I really don't.
Sentient message boards run Texas.
Now, sentient message boards can at least, like, launch campaigns, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look at their not-at-all rivals at TexAgs.
I thought you were going to bring up K-pop
TexAgs,
stance.
Can you run the Texas Athletic Department, please?
They probably could. At least better. I know who won their bowl game. Both programs. Okay, tied. Who's got a coach that, you know, like, they locked down and that they locked down for, like, guaranteed money in 10 years? That's some extremely Yeah. That's some extremely message board shit, by the way. To be like, we should pay him $85,000 million for 20 years. Lock him down.
Put a fence around Jimbo.
Have none of these people ever been married?
Jimbo has.
Yeah. Oh God.
Chomp chomp.
Whoo. Yeah. But by the way, Jimbo was scooting last night like he hasn't scooted in years.
It's the billionaire scooting boogie.
Yeah. Just sitting there dodging fire left and right with the first step that had me thinking like, he probably ran like a 4.8. He's an athlete. 4.9, somewhere around there. He had a quick first step.
I still think they should have done the thing where they hit him. They run up on him with what is obviously and visibly a large container of confetti. And they shower him with it. And like, haha, gotcha, coach. And then the second he turns away, they're right behind him with icy blue Gatorade cooler in the face.
You really got to, if you want to get Jimbo with the Gatorade, you got to flank him with a pincer movement. Because he'll spot your first encroachment and you got to have a second jug there approaching from the other side. I think if you go back and watch minute before, yes, at least with that 10-yard split, he's mm-hmm. quick off the line. I don't know if he can keep it up over a full 40, but if you watch it was a minute or two before the dousing, there were a few players planning their approach toward Jimbo, and a GA, a staff or something like that, some pretty young dude in a polo came up and waved him off, told him to go back. That's also the dude who's running with the jug at the end. So that dude tried to out-scheme Jimbo. Should have gone through with it right then and there when they had the opportunity. Mm-hmm. But he said, no, it's not time. It's not time. You got to take your target acquired. Fire it. Don't wait till the game's over.
He valued his scheme more than the circumstances, and it cost him.
Yeah, he scripted his plays when, in fact, should have called audible. It's right there. Dunk the coach now. He'll yell at you, but so what?
Everybody's got a plan until you get hit in the face with Gatorade.
One of these days, we'll get a team that does it in the third quarter, just to get it out of the way, just to say they did it.
And Nick Saban is the maddest person on earth for a full hour.
Coaching the last 19 minutes of the game, soaked in red candy.
This did happen to LSU last year, of course, or it 2 years ago, but that involved seven overtimes. Sure. But yeah, I went Nick Saban dunked at halftime. As he is talking to CBS about all the things he hates about his 35-point halftime lead. Yeah, as he's barking, darn headphones don't work. Well, the coach, they don't work because we doused them with wet Gatorade.
I think I've spotted the problem here, coach.
I would also blast the coach with dry Gatorade powder instead.
Oh man, you're gonna get cinnamon in your lungs.
I know you're gonna give him some kind of baker's lung thing where he's like, I don't know, it makes crispy noises when I breathe and I wheeze all the time.
Coach looks like a fucking lime green ghost.
Let's just hit him at SEC Media Day. Just do that. Just dress up like Alabama players and take the podium.
You've been fucking fun dipped, coach.
Just a big fucking LeBron chalk clap right in his face.
Oh, mango, gross.
Chomp chomp.
Oh god.
No, I just lick my arm whenever I need a little pep throughout the game.
Saban, Saban getting so heated that his headphones weren't working. Oh, God. I was so happy in that moment. His team's only beating Notre Dame at that point by something like 14 or 17 points.
The shame.
Yeah. And they bring him up and he can't hear. He's like, what? What? It doesn't. I'm sorry. I can't. What? No? No? Oh, fine. Yeah, I'll do the interview. Like, he's so angry. His anger makes me so happy.
You know he's fulfilled. Yelled. You know he's screamed in a room by himself. What the hell's buffering?
Terry!
Haven't we all? It's been a while, but... I like that I coach would... is still on 1997 internet.
Yeah. I don't Terry, trust what's Kaza?
I only trust internet that I have to call with a phone.
It doesn't make the noise. You know the noise I'm talking about.
That's actually the noise that Nick makes when you plug him in at night to charge.
To charge. Insert little Debbies. Insert little Debbies. So Texas went and they fired Tom Herman. And this is getting to the important stat for me, which is so surely they went out and they hired somebody with a better win percentage than Tom Herman. Steve Sarkisian's win percentage overall in his stops at Washington and then at USC. His win percentage is a total of 568. 568 overall. It's 46 and 35 as a head coach with a 2-2 record in bowls. Surely that's got to be better than Tom Herman. Because Tom Herman overall has a... Oh, look at that. He's got a 7-11 overall with a 640 at Texas. And is 5-1 in bowl games. I know. He always aced the final exam, as I said. And managed to pull his grade up a little bit toward the end of the year. But yeah, so they went out. They spent $24 million to go get a dude with a worse winning percentage than the guy they just fired.
Yeah, but Spencer, this guy just led an offense that scored a lot of points with Alabama football players. You know how hard that is to do?
You know, Steve Sarkisian does run the best offense, which is I'm gonna have better players than you. That's an amazing offense if you can get it. What are you gonna do? Well, I like to have Matt Leinart throw to Dwayne Jarrett, or Mark Sanchez throw into Stephon Johnson. Or handed it off to him. I like to have Reggie Bush. It's really good if you can get a Reggie Bush and a Lendell Wade on the field at the same time. Do you have a Devontae Smith? I find that having a Devontae Smith is a crucial ingredient in any great offense. He probably wouldn't say that about Mac Jones, right?
I mean, it's nice to have one, sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's better than some of the alternatives.
I mean, he's... I think he's leading the country in passer rating still. So, yeah. Pretty nice to have.
I mean, he seems okay. But yeah
he
I
seems think so. Okay.
Seems fine.
That is typically what that means.
But
yeah, like, right now, a 203. Last year, Joe Burrow had a 201.9. So, he's doing fine.
Mac Jones also from Jacksonville.
Uh-oh. Is he? Oh dear,
Jacksonville.
Yep.
So he's gonna. That's who they're drafting. Oh my god! If they did that,
also
with
Mac
the first
Jones,
pick in the NFL draft, we select Mac Jones.
Mac Jones, of course, was once a Kentucky commit. So there's a fun alternate history for you. Him just handing off 40 times a game, and then the game's over, and that's it. That's his entire college career.
Oh god, the Jags are gonna select him. This is happening. It's going to be Trevor. Nope, Mac Jones. Okay. He's coming home.
Mama's calling.
Mama called.
Mama's calling.
Mama called. She
needs
bail.
And she said, are you stupid? not all mama calls are good.
Most of them
People
are not.
Forget.
Mama called. Your daddy's getting arrested on the golf course again.
Mama called. Collect.
Oh. Yeah. I don't know what Texas, this is, like, I don't know what Texas is doing.
So
really
I, we should preface all this by saying, like, nobody actually knows how coaching hires are going to work out. Every year, like, there are ones that seem stupid that work really, like, the team that Texas beat in the bowl game, Colorado, ended up, like, with a pretty, I think, like, Carl Durrell, at least based on very limited year one information, that looks like a fine hire. It didn't at the time. It wasn't it wasn't exciting or interesting, or it was interesting, but it wasn't like, oh yeah, really sound decision making here.
It seemed bizarre. And then you have Tom Herman, who was like, oh, that's no doubt. Look what he did at Houston. Now give him Texas money.
Right.
Remember remember Muschamp?
Nope. Sure don't.
Nope. Remember how specifically salty I was with the two of y'all because y'all had gotten Muschamp?
Oh, no, I honestly don't. I don't remember. Were you?
Yeah, I was.
Oh, my God.
Remember this.
Can you imagine him in Tennessee after they put up, like, 2 points for 9 weeks in a row? We're working on it. We're working on it.
It actually would have been really interesting because there's a faction of Tennessee, including members of my own family, who would have seen the 2 points and been like, that's just as much offense as we need. We don't want to be showy.
That's right. You know what? Those games are quick, if nothing else.
I mean, he has a winning record in Neyland, right?
My point is, like, I honestly have no idea if, and I have long given up prognosticating whether a hire is good or bad. I will say this.
Yeah.
When the Sark hire was announced, one of the things that came with it to sort of, like, make Texas fans excited about it was like, oh boy, wait till you see this staff he's going to bring in. It's going to be fucking awesome. And then a day later, I have to look at Twitter and see something from one of the many Texas football websites out there that is like, Mike Stoops is not coming to Texas. So I'm like, okay, something, what is happening?
Fuck. It's over.
Where did we get lost from, like, holy shit, this lineup, guys, you are going to be fucking floored to Mike Stoops is not coming to town. So what happened?
Do you move along to fucking Steve Stoops?
Yep. Carl Stoops.
How far down?
No relation.
You laugh, but don't forget, there's a Ron.
How deep are you plumbing the Stoops pile?
Shoop Stoops.
I got this.
Oh, no, we got last Stoops.
Lyle Stoops.
How far are you stooping?
The Italian Stoops. Primero Stoops.
How far
Stoops.
Are you stooping to conquer?
Zebulon Stoops. Been off the grid for 15 years. Coming in to run special teams.
Three English majors on this call.
Getting after it like an old prospector. Zebulon Stoops.
That's a Steak Rancher series right there.
It is another Steak
Rancher
series. Zebulon
Stoops is absolutely getting a look.
I can't really, like, I don't know what's going to work either. It is fun, I think, to just go, yeah, I don't, like, realistically, what do you expect to happen at Texas given what everyone else has done there? Like, I mean, just black box it. It's like, not Sarkisian. Let's just take another guy. Another guy. I've seen enough people go into that job now who I thought were pretty good at what they did, and they end up with the same problems in the same teams, and they just kind of all look the same. So I don't know. Maybe you're the guy who fixes that. Maybe you're the guy who gets it all together. I don't think the problem there is necessarily one that the coach can solve.
Well, this is what's interesting is that rumoredly Sark, like, could have maybe gotten the Auburn job. Didn't really get far along in the process to say, like, yes, he was offered it, whatever. But decided to sort of, like, pull himself out of the running. Because, as we all know at this point, things were just a shit show. Like, different factions, boosters not on the same page, undercutting, blah, blah, blah. To say, like, whoa, Auburn, you are a fucking mess. Yes, I will take the Texas job. That's stability.
Whoa, oh, seriously.
I hadn't really thought about that, but
like,
yeah.
That's wild to me. It's like, whoa, hang on. I'm not buying a boat. Those things are crazy. What I will buy is a houseboat, because then I can live on it as well.
Listen, I'm not here to play on insane difficulty, just madman difficulty.
See, it's real estate and it's on the water. See? You always got waterfront property when you own a houseboat.
That's a twofer.
God.
I'm not playing Oregon Trail as peasant. I mean, at least getting a shovel or something.
Diseased shovel.
I mean, please remember, in the last 3 weeks, this had happened at Texas, which was this. Chris Del Conte. No, we're not going after Urban Meyer. Every booster who could call somebody who would listen. We're going after Urban Meyer! Don't tell anyone! Like, I hadn't seen that since Tennessee and the group of boosters who would just go talk to John Gruden. And John Gruden would say, so was the president on board? What are you guys doing? I don't know you. And he's like, no, that's cool.
I'm pretty sure John Gruden was like, so you guys comping this? We getting dessert?
Speaking of not every mama calls is a good call, John Gruden.
But mama kept calling.
It's more like a distant auntie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember me?
It is a mother-in-law situation, right? That's a mother-in-law, technically. Mm-hmm.
There is a funny path here where Sark does really well at Texas. Urban has a terrible fucking time coaching the Jaguars, and he has to watch it from afar. Oh, God damn it. I knew I shouldn't have taken the fuck. My fucking agent told me, hold out, take the Jaguars job, Duval.
Oh, and agents now need that cut, right? Especially now that like agencies like CAA are involved and they're under pressure from like hedge funds to increase returns. You're just going to see people taking jobs that like they have no business taking.
Which is,
I don't even. No. Why would an agent want you to go to the pros? Stick around and just work the buyout circuit.
Yeah, because going to the pros, you can't even get fired at 8-8. That doesn't seem like a great rondelay from the agent perspective.
You want to keep somebody as attractive as possible for as long as possible with as maximum pull as possible.
And get them fired as frequently as possible.
Yeah.
Which is what they were trying to do with Clay Helton. Whoops. They fucked around and are stuck with Clay Helton for God knows how long.
Surely Clay Helton won't wriggle out of this mess.
And who did Clay Helton come after?
Well, nevertheless.
Clay Helton's next up for Alabama and then Texas.
Or the Jags.
God. Yeah. Or some, like, Clay Helton would be perfect for the pros because people would be like, who's that?
What? I love the Kiffin Sark Clay pipeline because it's like, all right, we got to dial it down. Let's get the less poster version of Kiffin, bring in Sark. And then even Sark is like, oh gosh, we need to dial this down.
Okay,
give me the most boring guy possible.
get the creative coach. Get him out here.
Yeah. Can I get the for sensitive stomachs version?
Give me the Maalox Sark.
Yeah.
Ooh, gluten free Sark.
Can I get the senior cat formula version of Lane Kiffin? Yeah, go get Clay Helton.
Can I get a plain Kiffin?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what you're talking about, man. By the way, Kiffin getting extension off 4 and 5 in this year. Finesse!
Finesse! Fucking great.
Finesse!
But I think it's more because he is out recruiting Arkansas by like a spot. That's probably what. He couldn't beat him on the field, but out recruiting Arkansas is probably what did it.
Like he goes 4 and 5, lets Matt Corral gets Matt Corral out there, lets him throw like 5,000 times a game, has one of the worst defenses in FBS, is exciting and throws his clipboard 300 feet in the air, and his agent's like, so how about it, Ole Miss? And Ole Miss is like, we'll give you $900 million to just stay and say you love us. And Kiffin's in the corner with the karaoke mic going, finesse!
Ole Miss got to be real familiar with that arrangement.
I got finesse! Oh, God, that's so good. I'm so happy that he did that.
It's also the phrasing. Like, I'm looking at the press release now, and it's headlined, Ole Miss commits to Kiffin with new contract.
Mm-hmm. I think they tweeted it with like Ole Miss invests in its future.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's fucking win.
Yep.
Let's invest in a solid bond like Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin, I'd like to marry you.
Why you can't call Lane Kiffin an investment? Again, we're back to the houseboat. houseboat is not an investment. Just because you can drink and fall asleep in the same vessel without breaking the law.
You can drink and fall asleep in any vessel.
Yeah, yep, legally.
Oh.
Legally. I park that thing, drop anchor, fall asleep drunk on it, and I'm good. And by the way, that's not true, but my understanding of boat law, because I am not a Coastal Carolina grad, is very poor at best. But yeah, we're back to the houseboat again. You don't invest in Lane Kiffin. Don't sell this to me like it's going to have an annual return that just keeps going up over the years. Okay? There's going to be ups. There's going to be downs. And actually, this makes it the most Ole Miss investment of all. Because go look at the win percentages for Ole Miss over the years. That thing is an irregular, like, cardiogram. Whole thing. Just all over the map. So kind of perfect. Well done, Ole Miss.
I also like that Ole Miss was like, we're committing to Lane Kiffin. And people were like, what are the details of the deal? And they're like, we're not going to tell you. We're committed. That's it.
We're having a baby.
Is it yours? I'm not commenting on that.
We're having a baby. Whose baby? A baby. Notice, by the way, that announcement does not say Kiffin committing to Ole Miss, does it?
No.
It doesn't.
Hell no. You can't leash a tiger. You crazy?
Yeah, you know what? This is an open relationship. What
oh,
does that
man,
mean?
That's a lion.
I'm openly awesome. Yeah, that's what this means. It's an open relationship because my receivers, they're open all the time. Throw, baby. Matt Corral's winning the Heisman next year. Just throwing that out there.
With 30 interceptions.
Yeah, speaking yep. of throwing it
say,
out there.
This is going to be one of those rare actual Heisman and people's Heisman confluence years.
100%.
Oh, yeah. It's going to happen. Like, we'll get this guy who, like, we're like, no way he can do it. And then 8 weeks into the season, we'll be like, I think it's happening. It's happening. He's going to win with 60 TDs and, like, 30 interceptions. Easy.
So I was looking at, I just Googled the word beans and clicked shopping. Beans are in the news. Have you seen this? Have you heard
yeah.
of this?
Yeah.
And Bush's baked beans are 99 cents a can at a Target near you. If I were to use my retirement fund at acorns.com/fullcast, cash it all out right now, give up all my future on a houseboat, and invest entirely in canned baked beans from Target.
Spencer, that's how
I could afford 111 cans of baked beans, folks.
Shit.
That is so many lessons for my daughter on how to use household equipment. But I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that because we already have beans. I'm going to eat the current beans and let the acorns fund grow because it is very easy to add the nickels and dimes from individual purchases, beans or otherwise. And once those dollars are in there, they grow magically. Like an acorn in the dirt. No one knows how acorns grow, and no one knows how the investment market works. But this app taps into that magic and makes number go bigger. Acorns.com/fullcast to begin the process of opening your can of investment.
I will say this. I actually joined Acorns this week. Big news.
Hey! I salute a toast to you, my partner in retirement, eventually.
Yeah, planting some seeds. I used the family plan because I wanted to just set up a little account for my boys. Just, you know, teach them about, hey, put this aside. See what happens. Let
house
it grow.
Are you gonna let them Yeah, are you gonna let them fuck with it?
Absolutely. And I know what'll happen. One of them will 100% invest in he'll be like, you need to invest in the candy and bus companies.
Yeah,
large buses and candies.
Invest in the truck fund.
$100 on anime dogs. Bye.
No, that's the other one.
Invest in trains and anime dogs, you know? And that account will actually beat the market by 400%.
That's right.
Right?
In the Snowpiercer universe, you're rich.
Yeah. And we're headed that way anyway, and he'll be totally right. The other one will blow it. It'll just completely blow it. I know that's what the other one does, which is why I'm going to rely on the sound investment advice.
This house is a walking Stanford marshmallow experiment.
the failing side of it, yes.
Was there a good side of it?
Yes. A lot of good
things
happened.
Sorry, I'm thinking of the Stanford prison experiment.
Yeah, there's also that going on here, too. But I set up a couple accounts for the kids, and the performance so far, wow, the market gain. 29% from my initial investment, by the way. That means we're up 29 cents, but it's popping. All right?
Whooping ass.
Yeah, and that's just in like the last 3 days since I set it up. So Acorns, already paying dividends for my family and our future wealth.
That's the kind of turnaround that gets you an extension at Ole Miss, buddy. Finesse! Finesse!
Ole Miss is investing in Spencer Sheep. But yeah, watch the playoff games. they were both highly enjoyable.
Yeah, that was that second one got interesting.
I mean, Notre Dame, in hindsight, put a pretty darn good fight. They covered.
That was way more competitive than some other things.
Some other games
that transpired.
Clemson put up a bad fight. Not much of one.
They did. They put up a bad, sloppy, dad gets too drunk in the Florida panhandle on vacation kind of fight.
That was the what was the city where all the fireworks accidentally got lit
San
at once?
San Diego.
Yeah, that was
San Diego.
This was their San Diego 4th of July. Because in the first like 10 minutes of the game, you're like, "Oh yeah, Clemson, the show is over. Oh, we ran out of fire. Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Go home."
Mhm. You know what Clemson had? Clemson had exactly 10 minutes worth of good ideas. They did. They had a stand-up comedy.
Oh, that's Quibi. You're talking about Quibi.
I was talking about.
Wait, can
we
buy that? Is it too late to buy that with
y'all's
investment dollars?
It is, because
with our pooled resources,
we would be close. But Hulu actually just bought their archives.
Fuck
shit.
Yeah, so Hulu bought all of Quibi's content. So
gonna have to buy it the Quibi. Oh, so you can just get the Quibi idea now.
Can I just say it is real fucked up that you knew that?
Oh, that's because I have an alert for Quibi. That's how addicted I was.
That's how I like that Spencer doesn't check his personal email where people he knows may be reaching out to him, but he
Darren
set up
Rope
an alert for Quibi.
Bell of Quibi.
I know which one's not going to give me anything but pleasure. Reading about Quibi's demise.
You and what golden arm?
Yeah, that's it. I'm going to go on Hulu and I'm going to watch that show about the girl's damn golden arm.
Oh fuck! I hope Sark's first press conference in Austin, he comes out with that golden arm. Behold! And I will use it to raise my golden hat when I beat Oklahoma.
Actually, the boosters at Texas would really respond to that. They'd be like, damn, he's got a golden arm. Look at that thing. That sucker's rich. I love it. We're not scared anymore.
Jimbo would just look, Jimbo would just look down at his legs and he'd be like, boys, y'all got to go.
You're fast and you're pretty.
It's
but I
time
got
for
too
the,
much
it's
money
time
to be
for those diamond
legs.
Legs. I've been working on diamond legs for 15
they call
years.
Me diamond
now it's time
legs,
to
Jim.
Well, around here, all we do is sing about sawing them off. So,
old diamond legs, Jimbo.
I'm more ATM machine than man now.
Just him fancy, like just him unveiling them with the tear off pants, right? Just
and then Sark,
I'm sorry, poor
that
people.
Sark becoming fucking Sark Vader in a whole metallic suit.
My love for you burns hotter than my legless torso, Texas.
Oh yeah,
it's over, A&M. Notre Dame has the high ground. Fuck you.
I'm rich.
I think Pitt has the higher ground, right? They got a hill.
That's true. Clemson.
I think most
Clemson has the high
Pitt's
ground.
Pitt's Obi-Wan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Clemson has the incredible elevation advantage over.
They do.
They did. They've been struck down though.
Oh, they mean, listen, Obi-Wan's arc doesn't just go up. To be clear, Obi-Wan has a very Clemson-y arc. Like,
yeah,
boy,
he does.
Things
true
are going very well. Oh no. Oh no.
If you strike me down, I would. Okay.
If you strike me down, I will secure a 5-star commitment.
I'm fumbling.
That's the best part about that is that from a certain perspective, yeah, it looks like Obi-Wan transcends mortality and heads into the next plane to join the greats and teaches Luke the lesson that he needs to learn, having completed his mission on this plane. However, also, it's just him going, if you strike me down, and Vader going like, yeah.
Honestly, I think it was March and Obi-Wan just didn't want to do his taxes. He was like,
that
oh,
is actually
fuck
why you and McGregor came back to do that show.
Fuck all these fucking receipts. Fuck it. Just kill me, dude.
I mean, the man had been on the run for a while.
That's right. So. Ah, fuck. Yeah. Ah, Jesus. My safe deposit box was on Alderaan. Fuck.
I think that does trail well. That does sort of pattern Clemson, you know, because they're like, yeah, I'm very tired. I could continue doing this, or I could just let you run by me while Justin Fields throws the ball over my head.
Speaking of Justin Fields.
Yeah,
it sounds like you want to talk about Ohio State.
I'd love to talk about the Bucks. Let's talk about them. Wow! The Bucks! Ohio State! Coming at you! The Tigers! The Kings! I need some Tanner for the winner! That's all I got.
Ryan, that was exquisite.
That was great, Ryan.
I'm so broken.
Chicka-chow! Yeah, I don't really know whether I don't know how big a win this was, except in the emotional sense, because I sort of think Clemson was Clemson really didn't match up well with them at all, and Clemson was like, you know, evidently not as good as we thought they were. I don't know if this is a matter of Ohio State being amazing, but of maybe Clemson catching what turned out to be a demonstrably soft ACC for most of the year, even with the addition of Notre Dame.
No, ACC just beat itself up. ACC weakened itself. That's what happened.
That's right. To the point where they went 0-6 in bowl season.
Yep. They tuckered themselves out. The grueling ACC schedule.
They did play 23 games this year.
The first post I saw this morning, knew it was going to be an awesome day of posting, was John Feinstein saying he's sick of the ACC being overrated. And all the replies being, when the fuck did that happen, John Feinstein? Who the hell overrated the ACC?
I'm glad some of you can still see that. That bitch has me blocked.
Who has ever overrated the ACC?
Holly, I'm going to tell him you're a troop, and then he'll respect you again.
No, just tell him I called him a bitch again.
Just like Coach Knight would.
I'm over here practicing identity politics, John, by which I mean you're a huge bitch and I'm not.
My identity is being awesome and yours is not. That's my identity politics.
Enormous bitch.
David Hale, who's just a wonderful college football writer and a devotee of the ACC and who probably knows as much about the conference as anyone who has ever covered it and is exact about it, today on Twitter was just like, yeah, this conference sucks. It's just like, I mean, like in the Power Five.
He comes
like,
by that opinion, honestly.
He's like, I know we went 0-6 in bowls and you can kind of contextualize a lot of losses there, but like, go back and look at the record over the last 10 years of the conference versus all Power Five competition. It's the worst. It's not even close. There's like ups and downs for other conferences. There's ebbs and flows. There are the variations one might expect over the course of time involving one conference playing everyone else. And in the ACC, it's just continual like lowballing and flatlining.
But everyone's already known this. I mean, and David will back up his work and he'll say like, listen, this isn't just a meme. No one's slandering the ACC. Here are the records. Here are the facts. Here are the receipts. But like, at no point has anyone ever, you know, I guess I'm still stuck on the Feinstein idea. At no point has anyone ever disagreed with this.
Remember that John Feinstein took the Concorde home so he could see a sick cat.
There's nothing wrong with that.
At the expense of his employer.
No, that was.
You're
that
making him
one
sound
thing
cool.
That's the one thing I've agreed with him on. Ever.
That's what I'm saying. We're slandering him, and I'm like, he hit up the National for like a tremendous amount of money because he was like, I got to go take care of my cat.
Would you not do that for the full cat?
I would, but I don't know if I'd make him take the Concorde.
I would probably make up any excuse to take Concorde.
Because I just want
that?
It more.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if I could, like if that were an option. Because I'm sitting here like, I don't know, you could just put me like coach, just get me on the first one, that'd be good. But then I'd be like, this place could be out of business in 2 years. I might as well hit him up for first class. A real calculation I might make, you know. Also, it does depend on the cat. Like, the full cat, I'd absolutely do that. Yeah. I would say, if it's Mike the Tiger, I might just take the slow one.
Wow.
Hurtful
because
well,
he's
going to
be fine, or?
You know, they'll just find another one. That's what I've learned.
Damn.
Good lord, dude.
Apparently, like, you can just go like, hey, maybe you shouldn't keep a live tiger on campus. And they're like, wow. But maybe. We'll just keep getting them. You're like, seems ill-advised.
You of all people. I can't believe it was you. All right.
Yeah, that's... Are you okay?
I'm fine.
I wanted to compliment... I think what really stuck out in the Ohio State-Clemson game was how everybody was on the same page. And by that I mean when Justin Fields gets very clearly hurt and likely injured in a question mark way, because as far as I know, nobody said exactly like what the injury was or what they did to treat it. Everybody, the announcers, the coaches, you know, they're all on the same page of like, well, he didn't get an x-ray. That's probably a good thing, right? Sure. Yep. Toughness and grit. That's the important thing. And we're not going to ask any questions at all about why he's still out there playing after walking was hard. Probably fine. Everything's cool. Go football.
Just coming out of that locker room in the second half like, well, man, he's moving like nothing's wrong.
I mean, he threw like 8 touchdowns with with whatever his ailment was.
Yeah.
I mean, so. have you ever taken a hit like that, like been hit or had some sort of like back to the side, like either a helmet or landing on something?
I have fallen onto a picket fence.
I have, and then I threw like 8 touchdowns.
Oh my God.
Never mind, Jason. This is better.
Yeah. Justin Kirk.
No.
Jason
I didn't.
Fields.
He is from Kennesaw. He is from Kennesaw, might I add.
Wait, Justin Kirk is?
Jason Fields, yeah.
Trey Sermon also went to my high school, by the way.
Damn.
I'm a Buckeye honorary. My mom's from Ohio. I'm a Buckeye.
Shit.
Ohio State's about to claim everything good you have ever done. I feel like, yeah, we did that. He's Ohio bred. Buckeye bred. Ohio raised. Jason Kirk.
Sure.
Well marbled.
I don't, like, if you've had that injury, taking a huge hit on that area of your body, it's the absolute worst. I have.
Spencer, what experience are you speaking from here?
I broke a bone in my lower back when I fell off of a pull-up bar and landed on a 45-pound
This was during full cast era. This bumper was fairly plate. Recently.
Yeah, and I fell on a bumper plate and broke one of the transverse processes.
You had the Bryce Petty injury.
Yeah, I had the Bryce Petty injury,
but
which
I have a question.
A pretty common football injury, right?
Did a doctor tell you, hey, you broke part of your body?
Eventually, yes, but I drove home from the gym first.
See? There's
this actually
always...
came up on the show before.
There's always precedent. You're right.
Yeah,
this
I
came
mean,
up
well...
on the show before because the way that Spencer's wife explained the injury to me made it sound later as though they had conceived their first son in the emergency room. And it turns out that that's just the way she was telling the story and that's not actually how it happened. But for a couple of years after he was born, I believed that he had been conceived that night in the ER because your wife was like, well, this might be the best. This might be all I ever get. Hop on.
Yeah.
I'm kind of disappointed that that's not the case, frankly. But
oh, I could not have done that. No, it was excruciating
such
pain.
A turn.
I've told this story on the show
I know.
Before.
I just didn't think we were going to get there from Justin Fields. God. Brutal fucking hit.
He brought
in
this
the
up again, and I just wanted to point out that it was during the full cast era.
Yeah, I don't know how he did that. Like,
I thought it was heroic.
Yeah,
I was talking about your wife.
Thank you. not my performance, but yeah, no. The pain.
Do you think they will ever say like, will we ever get a diagnosis, or will it just be like mystery hit?
So, oh, I mean, I think not. The one incentive here is the draft.
Sure.
Because it goes two ways. You know, either NFL teams want to find out exactly what happened, or if it turns out, you know, there's incentive also for Fields to demonstrate what he played through, right?
Toughness.
To say, like, well, he did that, and sure. Imagine if he'd been healthy. Could have been even better.
Yeah.
So, like,
yeah.
I think the financial incentives, I think, will ensure the truth eventually comes out.
The invisible hand will work its magic.
Basically, not on the rib itself, but there will be
whatever.
No doctor's hand. Those are visible.
By the way, is the funniest possible outcome that Justin Fields opts out now?
Yes.
I think I've proven my point.
1,000%.
That he just puts everybody's love and loyalty to the test by being like, yeah, I've proven what I need to prove.
I think what he does is he as soon as he gets the notification, Falcons clinch the top 4 pick. Okay, I'm out. Heading home.
This is, by the way, the Fields Fromm thing, because that was, again, going around Twitter during the game, as if we can't let that go, because we never will.
Competing dead pages of Agincourt.
If he,
for the record, Jake Fromm is now in the playoffs, so, like, calm the fuck down.
Of what?
Technically,
of the NFL.
Wait, yes.
Is he a TA? Like, oh, interesting.
He's a fourth string behind Josh Allen?
I'll pull up the depth chart. Hold on.
How dare
I guess
you
we'll never know, because it's not like Josh Allen's ever going to be injured.
How dare you
7,000 pounds.
If Jake the sharpshooter from is GA. He's GA as hell.
He's
a Humvee.
He's third string behind Matt Barkley. And who did Matt Barkley play for?
USC, baby.
Lane Kiffin.
That's right. There it is.
That's right. If he gets drafted by the Falcons and wins a Super Bowl with the Falcons, do you know it'll be trending 4 years from now when this happens?
Kirby.
Jake Fromm. Kirby and Jake Fromm. That's it.
The entire Ohio State Clemson game trending in Georgia. Kirby.
Kirby.
After they beat Cincinnati in a bowl game, no less.
Yeah, yeah. It was seriously like you could just picture the Georgia fan mood, like, ha ha ha, we didn't lose to the fuck.
Surely we'll just process this with maturity and let bygones be. Shit, we're talking about it again.
we're the 7th best team in the country.
God damn it!
Oh god damn it! We could have been the 1st best team in the country.
You got JT Daniels, who's awesome. And this is how you know Georgia fans are a different degree of spoiled now, right? That
fortunately, they're bearing it with good grace and good humor.
Also, the only quarterback in the country who might be better than Justin Fields, according to both the upcoming NFL draft and the recruiting industry 3 years ago, also from Georgia.
Yeah.
Really awesome job. Really awesome job.
Well.
That's okay. That's okay. We'll get the next one. We'll get the next one, y'all. Who is the running back for Oregon? His first name is Britton.
Britton Books.
Yeah. Which
I thought his name was British Books, and I got really excited.
Yeah,
I don't think it's actually Britton Books, but I remember thinking that it was British Books.
Yeah, no, I heard that and I thought, why isn't that?
Why are you searching for British Oreos? That's not what we're talking about at all.
That is his name.
Wait, Oregon, keep going. Oregon. Go down that trail.
The Oregon Oregon running back depth chart, you have Cross Patton, son of Big Boy, and you have British Oreos is the guy ahead of him.
That's amazing. I just heard him last night and I was like, why is he not a Georgia quarterback?
Spencer, you're just British is not part of his name. I keep saying that. That's
chill.
Okay, no. LaMichael James is not British.
Anyway.
His name is Welsh LaMichael James.
Can somebody else look this up? Because Spencer just keeps typing British Oregon running backs. And
why don't you look at
happening.
Oregon's roster? Am I way off here that
Jason,
might be a good...
that's crazy.
That would be
Jason,
a better decision.
What the fuck?
I'm sorry.
I mean, honestly...
It's probably better to just type words and hope one of them's right.
Why would we do the sensible thing?
Are we sure it's a running back?
Because
there's a guy named Sean Dollars.
By saying I thought this guy's name was...
What? There's a guy named Sean Dollars?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a freshman.
That's
so he'll
amazing.
Be with us for a while.
Good Lord.
There's also Diamador Lenoir.
That's
which is some Tennessee shit.
Sean Dollars is still the winner there. My God. What a correct. WCW name.
I've thrown you completely into tilt by saying aloud during the game, I keep thinking this guy's name is British Books.
Sean Dollars. God, what an amazing name. Yeah. No, I was just watching. I was watching them and going, there's a lot of extremely UGA names. So never mind me.
Yeah. I'm not saying
never
any
gonna
name.
Figure out this kid's actual name.
I'm not saying any name that sounds anything like British whatsoever.
Was it even Oregon?
I will figure this out.
Is it Iowa State?
It was not Iowa State.
There's not that much interesting to say about British Oreos, in case anybody's wondering.
Do they have Is this name English?
Fish and chips flavor?
No, Oreos? They don't. They don't have any weird flavors. It's boring. It's just regular shit.
Yes, but what's it
Iowa State has a Blaze Dachshund.
Blaze Dachshund.
Sure.
The world's fastest tiny dog.
Jesus, that's amazing.
Yeah, that's some Paw Patrol shit right there.
I did see the best burn on Dabo I have ever seen during the game once the full route was on, which was someone calling him Jet Sweep Joel Osteen.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's damn perfect, y'all.
Lady Chatterley's lover for 300 yards.
He did it.
Can we go back to the Notre Dame game briefly?
Yeah.
I have one. Thank you. Please.
I have one complaint. Because I largely agree with Jason that Notre Dame didn't play particularly poorly. They lost in the ways that they should have lost to a very, very, very fucking good Alabama team.
Defense played well.
I would say the defense played fine. I don't have a good sense of it, but it felt like at some point in the second half, Alabama was just like, we're good. We don't really have a desire to score 50 points.
Okay, we found him.
Who is it?
I was close. It's the North Carolina running back whose name is British Brooks.
Ooh. Mm.
Who, if we reversed it, would be a perfect UGA quarterback because he'd be Brooks British.
Brooks British, yeah.
I don't know, that's awfully close to France.
Bama still threw for almost 10 yards a pass, went 25 of 30 through the air, and still ran for 140 yards on top of that. But
So Notre Dame gave up 7.95 yards per play.
Yeah.
The team that is proudest of its performance against Alabama, Texas A&M, gave up two more yards per play than that.
Okay. Well, yeah. So I thought so my issue is really on the offensive side of the ball. And it's really with just one thing where early in the game, I think it was Todd McShay, somebody was saying we talked to Brian Kelly and he says they're going to be more aggressive on fourth down, blah, 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 blah. And then they didn't do it. They punted on 4th and 8 from their own 29. That mm-hmm. was early. That's fine. Whatever. Then they punted on 4th and 5 from their own 44 and 4th and 8 from their own 43. And I just they ended up going, I think, two times, maybe three times. And a lot of that was just end of the game, last quarter. There's no reason not to, whatever. I think this is just normal football talk at this point. I think to play this Alabama team, you might as well go for it on fourth down a lot more than you might otherwise. If it's in a makeable range and if it's in a part of the field where it's not immediately going to kill you, giving Bama the ball on near midfield versus trying to pin him inside the 20, it really doesn't matter all that much. It's really not going to turn, it's really not necessarily going to stop them or hold them to whatever. So, just go for it. I wish Notre Dame had been more aggressive in that regard and just, pushed on fourth down more. That's it.
Especially if you have a guy like Ian Book who's accurate in the short game and can keep things alive. Why don't you press a 4th and 3, right? Why don't you press a 4th and 5? Because those are the kind of throws that, especially with big tight ends as targets, those are the kind of throws he can make, man.
Yeah, and, you basically have to... Notre Dame probably knew going into this game, we need to steal a possession in one way or another, whether it's a fake or a turnover. But, a converted fourth down is kind of like stealing a possession in some ways. 4th and 1, whatever, that's just sort of, you should always go for those. But if you pick up 4th and 7, 4th and 8, you effectively stole possession, and you probably did it with pretty good field position to boot. So, right. that's my only complaint, is I wish Notre Dame had just said, fuck it, let's go for it.
They don't have, watching Notre Dame, they don't have anybody who stretches the field. They don't have anybody. Because remember, the thing about Bama is that, yeah, you can pass on them. You might be able, because they play single coverage, you might be able to pull guys. But there are two things that prevented Notre Dame from doing that. One, their head coach said before the game, and I cannot believe he said this out loud, yeah, we're not going to throw at Patrick Surtain. They still
They tried to twice and nearly threw a pick on one of them.
Yeah, no, we're just not going to put the ball near that dude.
That's an admirable degree of pragmatism for a man who was normally ruled entirely by emotion.
Yeah, no, and a guy who once, threw a whole bunch of passes in the middle of a hurricane, right? Called a bunch of passes. Just decided, we respect Patrick Surtain more than we respected a tropical storm once.
Not the worst stance to take.
Yeah, no. And two, they don't have any wideouts. I don't have anybody. I don't know if there was a team that had like a bigger drop off and a like more contrast between that position than Notre Dame and Alabama. So Notre Dame, I'm like, I don't know what any of these dudes do. They run block. Seem to run block pretty well. They don't really get open. They don't really do much. But then there's Alabama, which has 3 to 4 to 5 deep of the most eye popping wideouts you've ever seen.
Like, to me, the reason I bring this complaint up is I think back to the Ole Miss game. Which Ole Miss didn't win, but they hung with like a hell of a lot. They hung with a hell of a lot longer than certainly Nick Saban would have liked them to. And Ole Miss definitely, like, if there's one very clear difference between Ole Miss and Notre Dame, it's that Notre Dame actually has a defense and Ole Miss does not. And Ole Miss went 4 of 4 on fourth down in that game, and those were not like just late in the game. Well, you know, who cares what like. They were very aggressive. And I think that is part of what you have to do if you are undermatched talent wise, which almost everybody is against Alabama. I don't know if necessarily Ohio State has to embrace this, but I do think, and this kind of came up in the North. I think it came up in the Northwestern game in the Big Ten Championship, if I recall correctly. Like, there are times where if it's 4th and 3, just fucking go for it. Like, there's no reason not to.
Yeah, Ohio State is probably the only team that doesn't have to think like that.
Yeah.
You know, well, I mean, I'm fine with how it went. Notre Dame plus 20. Brian Kelly was focused on getting the cover. don't push it. Don't risk it.
Sure.
You know, don't give Bama a short field and blow the cover. So let's focus on what's most important here.
Fair.
Although for an Alabama-Ohio State matchup, Ohio State might get in a position where they go, yeah, we might have scored too much. They really might get in that, where they go, yeah, we've given Alabama too many possessions. Because that was clearly Notre Dame's gameplay, was not to give Alabama too many possessions.
Was to go slow. Was to go slow.
Yeah, there was a tension, because Brian Kelly was talking up time of possession, right? And before and after the game was trying to manage expectations. Like, was, you know, before, like, he had this mostly consistent message of just like, holy shit, look how talented they are. Come on, right? And but then he also threw in that we're going to play aggressive thing. And one of those things jumps out, you know?
Yeah, you can't do both. You can't be like, we're going to be slow, but surly.
Yeah, you can't say we're going to just try and play it safe and get out of here and enjoy the fact that we almost won a conference, kind of. But
going to be a belligerent sloth. That's what we're going to be.
Also, aggressively lazy.
I mean, this is how stupid this year and this entire setup goes. That I don't know if anyone else would have done better or less disappointingly than Notre Dame here. I really don't. I feel like, oh man, A&M, you could have put them back in. They had a great bowl game against UNC. Yeah, they did. And even then, they still needed the last, 6 to 8 minutes of that game to salt it away.
Sure.
Against a guy playing without most of his major tools on offense.
I mean, it is dumb that Notre Dame was the best, most capable candidate. I don't know about qualified, because I would have said Cincinnati, even though they lost. But it's not like Cincinnati is going to do any better.
Cincinnati against Alabama would have been, it would not have been as good as Notre Dame Alabama. Notre Dame Alabama wasn't that great.
I think the only team you could put in and at least make Bama expend effort might have been BYU, because they're going to fucking wing it, right? If they're down by 30, so what? They're going to keep fucking winging it. Whereas Notre Dame is going to say, okay, all right, let's just get out of here.
You know, frankly, it probably would have been Ole Miss. Just put Ole Miss back in.
Yep. If you went up to Saban and you said, what would piss you off the most at the 4 seed? He probably says Kiffin again.
Yeah, he didn't want to deal with that. He's like, you're so much of it. That's probably his biggest complaint, is that, like, oh, they're just bullshit and there's so much of it.
God, he's always talking, just constantly quoting Fast and the Furious. Can't fucking stand it. Oh, my God.
What's wrong with that?
Nick Saban wouldn't like it.
That's what I mean.
All right.
That's, you know, Nick's,
I
like,
feel like he would appreciate Tokyo Drift as the story of an Alabama boy who learns an important lesson about duty and fidelity. But go off.
Okay. Who do we have that could show Saban the Fast movies and determine?
Besides Lane?
Cecil?
Yeah, Cecil Hurd, if you're listening, we need...
Is Major Applewhite
got a job there for you.
Here we do. Pete Golding, if you're listening, and I know you are.
Oh, yeah, Pete is locked in. Look at him. Take one look at Pete Golding. That man's got opinions. Pete, come on the show.
Pete lives his life a quarter mile at a time. Know it.
Let's talk about Justice for Han.
Yeah.
Man, it's so fucked up that they're just friends with the guy who killed Han.
Listen, and okay, we're finally supposed to get a resolution to that storyline, and it's been pushed back a year and counting due to the pandemic, and I need to know what.
Can I offer a short aside here? So, because 2021 won't be that much more.
I don't
less
even
stupid.
Have a joke. I'm just upset.
2021 won't be that much better than 2020. Sorry, everybody. My wife decided that the thing she wants to do this year is watch the Fast and the Furious movies. She's never seen any of them.
Perfect.
So Ryan and I have already had this discussion.
Yes. So New Year's Eve, we watched the first one together. And mostly she was like, wait, Race Wars? They're calling this Race Wars? And then the other night, she wanted to... She was like, I had a call with a buddy I had to make. And... She was like, I'm going to watch Fast 2 without you. I was like, that's great. And I come back down and I'm like, hey, how'd you like it? She's almost at the end. And before I can even ask her how she likes it, she's like, Tyrese is amazing. Tyrese is amazing.
Yes,
he makes he makes so many bad choices and I understand all of them.
So she is that is her.
Welcome.
So that is her gateway to the Fast verse is Tyrese.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tyrese.
Keep us updated as we go.
Tyrese and Ludacris. She also like really liked that Ludacris was the one character who was like, fuck that racing, I'm not doing that. No, I'm just over here organizing.
Okay, this is good because there's lots more of both of them.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Tyrese, the only character who decided that the car to naturally drive on ice is an orange Lamborghini. Obviously, one of the finest characters in the
entire saga. It's so other hunters can see you.
It's so polar bears know what's up.
Stay away from me, Dick Cheney.
Tyrese delivering the seminal line, ejecto cito, cuz. God, this movie's a treasure.
But yeah, Pete Golding's definitely owns all of the Fast movies.
I need this movie to come out on streaming because I need to know in what manner y'all have decided to retcon Jason Statham after 3 entire ass movies of all of us being mad about him.
Time travel, innit? Time travel.
I need to know.